Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today we have come to the conclusion of a teaching that I've been doing for over 6 weeks talking about financial stewardship. And this is a six-part teaching, and today we're on the last part of that entitled, this sixth teaching is your partnership in the kingdom. All last week I was just stressing that you've got to give. If you are going to tap into God's way of prosperity, you've got to learn to start giving. And not just give when it's convenient, not give off the bottom, but off the top. You got to be a deliberate, faithful giver if you are going to see God's prosperity work in your life. And then the last couple of days, I've been talking about partnership from Philippians chapter 4. Paul said, "My God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." That wasn't intended for every person. That was to people who had been faithful partners with Him, who had gone beyond just their own needs and had helped Paul reach out and touch other people. There is a special blessing, a special financial blessing on people who will partner and give beyond their needs and help a ministry reach out to other people. That's what Philippians chapter 4 is talking about. And then yesterday, out of Proverbs chapter 18, verse 6, where it says, "A man's gift maketh room for him and brings him before great men," that isn't just talking about your anointing that's on your life, but it's talking about a monetary gift that when you give, it begins to open up doors for you, doors in the spiritual realm. Here's an example of this working in the natural realm, and then there is a spiritual parallel to this. But look in 1 Kings chapter 10, and this is where the Queen of Sheba came to see Solomon. And in chapter 10, verse 1, it says, "And when the Queen of Sheba heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bear spices and very much gold and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart." Now, you know, it doesn't specify how many camels there were, but later on over here, let me just jump over to verse 10. It's talking about the Queen of Sheba, and it says, "She gave the king 120 talents of gold." A talent of gold was 75 pounds. So you multiply 125 times 75. I've done this in the past, and I don't have that figure in front of me, but you know, it's hundreds and hundreds of pounds. If you figure that each camel could carry, let's say, 200 pounds, it would still take probably 10, 15 camels. And then it says that the spices that she gave was even more than that. And so if it took 10 camels for the gold, it must have taken at least 10 or 15 camels for all of the spices. And then you know that to protect all of that, this queen had to have soldiers with her. And there was probably personal things that she needed, all of her attire, all of her maidens that accompanied her. This was huge. I mean, I don't know, but there could have easily been 20, 30, 40, 50 camels, all of the soldiers that it takes. The point that I'm making here is that she came to get the wisdom of Solomon. And I mentioned this on my program briefly yesterday, but if you came to see the President of the United States, you just can't walk up, knock on the door and get in. You have to make an appointment, and very few people are received. And if you are received, there's a waiting list. You couldn't just say, "I'm going to be in town tomorrow. Can I come see you?" You'd have to plan a week or month or a year out or whatever. With Solomon, I suspect that there was month-long waiting list. And yet here the Queen of Sheba comes, and she just gets straight in to Solomon. One of the reasons is that scripture, Proverbs 18:16, "A man's gift makes room for him and brings him before great men." When the Queen of Sheba came into Jerusalem with dozens and dozens of camels and soldiers, I guarantee you this was notable. It wasn't just one person coming up and wanting to see the king. I mean, this was notable. I believe it got her to the front of the line, and she got in to see Solomon. Now, that's important. And the reason I bring this out is because in the same way that her gift, all of these riches, opened a door to her and allowed her to go into the most sought after man on the earth on the face of the earth at that time. The same way it worked for her, when you start giving and giving beyond your own needs and you give to help others and you become a partner, then you open up a door that gets the power of God flowing in your life. It does supernatural things for you. And I know some people see that as selfish, but I don't believe that it is at all. It's just the way that the kingdom of God is. You know, I tell my students all the time that if you believe that you're going to be a missionary, then find a missionary that has that anointing on their life that you would like to see function in you and become a partner with them, because they've got an anointing on them and your gift will start a flow of that anointing towards you. You know, when I was first getting started in television, there was a friend of mine. If I mentioned their name, you'd know exactly who I'm talking about. And they are worldwide on television. And they were doing things that I wanted to do. I wasn't doing it, but I was believing to go there. And you know what I did? They were believing to go on a special network, and I started sowing a $3,000 a month gift into their television ministry because I sow where I want to go. I see an anointing that has blessed them, and I started blessing them and helping them accomplish their vision. And by doing that, there was an anointing already present there. And it's like, you know, here's the Mississippi River running by you, and you're over here dying of thirst. You just start digging a little channel over towards you, and some of that starts flowing. And if you keep that channel open and keep digging and keep doing this, you know, you could actually divert the course of this mighty river all towards you. When you start giving towards a ministry that has an anointing on it, then that anointing and that blessing starts flowing towards you. And that's what happened to the Queen of Sheba. She went to see Solomon. She used this gift to get her to the front of the line, and it started all of the anointing, the wisdom that God had deposited in Solomon started flowing towards her. And here's another great point. You know, again, I have figured this out in the past. I don't have this figure in front of me, but when you count in verse 10, it says she gave 120 talents of gold and of spices, very great store and precious stones. There came no more such abundance of spices as these which the Queen of Sheba gave to King Solomon. When you figure out the monetary value of all of this gift that she gave to Solomon, it amounted to billions and billions of dollars worth of gold and spices and stones and things like this. And here's my point. As the Queen of Sheba was going to Solomon, I bet you that there were people that saw all of this wealth. She's bound to have passed through Oasis and by people who were struggling. Matter of fact, I bet you that she went through some countries that their entire gross product of the entire nation didn't amount to as much money as what she had in her camel train. And she could have been criticized and people saying, look, you're going to take all of this money to the wealthiest man on the face of the earth. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need this. Why don't you give this money to the poor? Why don't you give this money to this king and help him with all of the problems that he's having in his nation? See, there's a lot of people that just like this. If you start giving to a ministry that has a lot of money coming in, there's a lot of people thinking, well, they got all of this money. They don't need my money. Well, it's not only about what they need. You need to tap into that blessing and the anointing that is on that ministry. And your gift will open up a door and make room for you and start drawing on the blessing that's on that ministry. See, this queen could have been criticized and said, why don't you give this money to the poor? But when she came and gave to Solomon, it goes on to say that the king, in verse 13, and King Solomon gave unto the Queen of Sheba all her desire whatsoever she asked, besides that which Solomon gave her of his royal bounty. So she turned and went to her own country, she and her servants. And then in verse 14, it starts talking about the weight of gold that came to Solomon in 1 year was 603 talents of gold. Now, remember up in verse 10 that the queen gave King Solomon 120 talents of gold, and yet King Solomon got 666 talents of gold every year, and then spices and all of these other things. So my point is, Solomon's abundance was much, much greater than the Queen of Sheba. She gave to him, and that opened up a door. She started drawing on all of his wisdom and got all of these things. But then King Solomon turned around and gave unto her all of her desire and out of his abundance. And so, I believe here's what happened. Not only did she get the wisdom of Solomon and all of the things that she desired through that gift, it opened up a door, but then Solomon gave back unto her more than she gave to him. Now, I don't know that that's true, but again, I've got friends who are givers. I went out to eat with a guy yesterday, and we nearly had a fight over who was going to pay the bill, and finally, I let him pay the bill. I've actually had friends before, trying to pay for gas, take a credit card and throw it out in the street so that they could get to pay for the gas. When you get around people who are really prosperous and givers, it's hard to outgive them. And I know that that's the way it was with Solomon and the Queen of Sheba. His abundance was much greater than hers, and so she brought him this gift. He turned around and blessed her back. And here's the point of that. For those who think, well, you shouldn't be giving money to these people like Solomon that already had this great wealth. Well, by her doing that, she not only got his wisdom, but then she got back more than she gave. And if she was inclined to, on the way back to her country, she could have given to all of those poor people. She could have given to these kingdoms, and she could have actually have blessed the people more on the way back than she could have on the way there, because after she gave, it was given back unto her good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So the application of all of this is, sometimes people think, I only want to give to people that are in crisis and people that are really desperate, and I want to make my gift count. And you're thinking about who needs this the worst. And because that's the primary motivation, many ministers will tell you about how desperate their situation is and play on your emotions and get you to give. But you know what? You not only need to give where there is a need, but you need to sow where you want to go. And if you see a ministry that is really anointed and powerful, you need to sow into that and start tapping into this, because your gift makes room for you and brings you before a great man. It'll start the flow of that anointing towards you. Here's an example of this that some very good friends of mine, Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, they travel with us and do praise and worship. They've been doing that for a long, long time. And I've known them for 30 years or more. It's been a long time that I've known Charlie and Jill. And Charlie and Jill are praise and worship leaders. They started out and they struggled the way that many of us in ministry have. And then they now are very prosperous and they're seeing a lot of good things happen. But because they had gone through these hardships, they always wanted their giving to count, and they wanted to give to people that were really desperate and that maybe other people didn't know about. And so they would take their tithes and their offerings and divide it among these real small ministries, pastors who were pastoring churches in different places, some missionaries that were out on the field, and they would give to these smaller ministries. And then they heard this exact teaching that you're hearing right here about a gift will make room for you and bring you before a great man. And it starts tapping into the anointing that's on that ministry. And they also heard that you have to give where you're fed, like it says in Galatians chapter 6, verse 6. And so they, even though they had a desire to help these smaller ministries that maybe hadn't ministered to them, but they saw the need and they just wanted their money to count, they still did some of that, but they specifically started giving to me because they had received from me. They started giving to Kenneth Hagin Ministry. This is back when Kenneth Hagin Sr. was still alive, and they started giving to him because they were graduates of Rhema Bible College. And they started sowing into Joyce Meyer Ministry because Joyce was a personal friend of theirs. And even though they had been friends, they had never personally given to her ministry. And they started sowing into her ministry because they saw the blessing of God on it and wanted to be a part of it. And you know, they only did that for like 6 months, or it might have been a year, but it was a relatively short period of time. And then Joyce and Dave Meyer asked Charlie and Jill LeBlanc to go out to eat with them. They had been friends, and while they were eating, Joyce Meyer asked Charlie and Jill LeBlanc to come and start leading praise and worship at her meetings that she was holding. And she specifically told them that when I was praying about this and praying about who to have come, and I thought of you, I went and looked up your giving. And she said, this is Joyce Meyer, told Charlie and Jill, said that because you had started partnering with us and sowing into this ministry, I decided to ask you, says, if you hadn't sowed into this ministry, if you didn't show that commitment and that desire and value on this ministry, I wouldn't have asked you to do it. And so here's my point, that by them sowing into these other ministries, did you know they sowed where they wanted to go? They quit giving only to the ministries that were critical and small ministries that needed help. In some people's estimation, they could have said, well, Joyce Meyer's got such a big ministry, she didn't really need their $100 a month or whatever it was. But you know what? It wasn't about Joyce's need. It was about their need. They needed to sow where they wanted to go. And they did that, and immediately it just opened up a door. And for 7 years, they traveled with Joyce Myers and did her praise and worship. And then Joyce got some other people, and now Charlie and Jill have been traveling with us for, I don't know, probably 7 years and doing all of that, and it's brought them. You know, they sowed into our ministry, and it opened up a door. I'm just using that as an example to say that this is how it works. You may not understand this. You can't prove this in the natural. It's a spiritual principle that you just have to believe. But I'm telling you, there are some of you that are struggling, and it seems like that you just are not getting along and things aren't working. You know, one of the things you could do is to find a church, find a ministry that has the blessing and the anointing of God on it, something that you sense is from God, and start becoming a partner with them. And then Philippians 4:19, but my God shall supply all of your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. When you say, Father, I want to help this ministry, well, then God wants to help that ministry, and He's going to start flowing the finances to you, because He knows as it flows through you, it'll go to that ministry. And not only that, but then as you give, your gift will make room for you and open up doors. It will draw you before great men, and the blessing and the anointing of God that is on that ministry will start flowing towards you. Boy, that's powerful. I don't know if you get that or not, but that is powerful. You can literally, in a sense, hitch your wagon to somebody else's star, and as they rise and as God blesses them, you can go with them because you are a part of what they're doing. Well, that's a powerful truth. But see, I believe that this is involved in partnership. Again, let me just amplify on this a little bit. It says over in 1 Corinthians, I think it's chapter 16, that Paul talked about them laying by in store on the first day of every week as God has prospered them. And what he's talking about here is systematic giving, not just emotional giving, not just, you know, if somebody appeals to you and tells you we're in desperate straits and flashes a picture of a baby with a swollen belly and you get touched emotionally and so you give a little bit here, or you get condemned into giving over here. That kind of giving may help the people you give to. It may help you to some degree, but you aren't going to tap in to the real prosperity that God has for you until you become on purpose givers. It's like sowing seeds. Did you know they used to just take seed and just throw it anywhere, and it would land on top of the ground and birds would eat it and all kinds of things. We now do our sowing much more on purpose than that. We make furrows. But they have found out how close you can plant one seed to another seed because, you know, the ground only has so much nourishment, so much water that it can give. And so the spacing of your seed, in other words, doing it on purpose, making a furrow and planting your seeds and spacing them produces a much greater harvest than just throwing your seeds out there and one or two of them comes up and you get some kind of a harvest out of it. Likewise, if you just give occasionally when you've been touched emotionally or something, and you give occasionally, you'll get some benefit out of that. But if you want to really start prospering and seeing the real blessing of God come into your life, you need to start giving, as Paul said, set by this money. Just like my wife and I, the way we do it, we have what we call a give account. We have our regular checking account, but then we have a give account. And I forget exactly right now. I hesitate to say because I may be wrong, but it's somewhere around 25-30% of every penny that we get goes in that give account. Now, we give much, much more than that. Like I said, we've given as much as 80% of our income. But I'm saying just right off the top, we take about 30% and put it straight into this give account. And then we put other money inside of that. We just put some money in a give account yesterday because somebody blessed us. And so we just put it all into the give account. So the point is that we take money and we set it aside. And that's all it's for. We never use give account money or money that's been designated to give to pay bills and to do other things. And so we just do that off the top. And see, this is, I believe, what Paul is talking about. You need to get to where you are on purpose setting aside money off the top, not off the bottom. And then you need to give on purpose. And I think rather than just giving occasionally here or there, I think that all of us should be doing, we should be able to give to special things when they come up. But then there ought to be people that you are partners with. I could mention right now dozens of people that I give to on a monthly basis because I see the blessing of God on their life. And I see the anointing of God. And I know that God is using them. I know that the Lord is moving through these people. And so I give to them because I want that blessing that's on their life to be on my life. Now, that's not the only thing I do. I also believe God and study the Word and pray, and I do a lot of things, but this is part of it. I sow where I want to go. Like I shared, I gave to another ministry to help them on television when I wanted to increase on my television. But instead of using all that money for myself, I gave to help someone else. And I did this for a couple of years. And you know what? Now I am on all of these television stations that I wanted to be on. And I have seen this come to pass. I'm telling you, it works. It is a powerful principle. If you are really going to tap into God's prosperity, you are going to have to do it through giving. Your attitude is important. Where you give is important. There's just a lot of things, but I'm telling you that this is one of the truths is that you can't really prosper in God's kingdom if you don't learn to start sowing. And I would even suggest that you do it on purpose, that you do it systematically, that you do it weekly or monthly so that there is no chance that you just miss out on this. And as you become a deliberate, on-purpose giver, and you do it with the right heart, it will start a flow of God's blessing financially, spiritually, emotionally into you that nothing else will do. It's awesome. Praise God. Today's our last day to teach on this financial stewardship. And I just want to encourage you to please get our materials. There's just so much more to this than what I've been able to share on television, but our CD and DVD set has it all in there. So please listen to our announcer and call or write today.
Many of you may feel a desire to participate financially in a meaningful way. We'd like to give you the opportunity to invest yourself in building the lives of Charis Bible College world changers through the Foundation Builders Program. This special group of ministry partners is joining hands financially with Andrew and Jamie to make this vision a reality. Call, write, or go to our website to become a partner today. And see the virtual tour of the new Charis Bible College campus online at www.awmi.net.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Financial Stewardship is available on either CD or on DVD as seen on our daily TV program. Each is offered for a gift of any amount. Remember to specify the CD or DVD when you order. This series is also available for audio download absolutely free on our website. Go to awmi.net and click on Audio Teachings on the left-hand side of the page. The sixth audio teaching in today's series is also available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this sixth teaching titled, Your Partnership in the Kingdom, Free of Charge.
Let me mention once again that today is our last day to offer this sixth teaching in this album entitled Financial Stewardship, and it's also our last day for the album. It's the last day of my teaching on financial stewardship. We make the album available for a donation of any amount, but some people could not or would not send any money, and so for those people, we offer each teaching in the album one at a time, individually, free of charge. My partners have enabled me to do that. And so today's the last day that we'll be announcing the album, but it's also the last day that you can get this sixth teaching entitled Your Partnership in the Kingdom as our gift to you. So please call or write today and request these materials.
We'd like to remind you that we're offering Andrew's latest book titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword for a gift of any amount. Contact us today to get your copy. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs, Colorado for a Better Way to Worship Conference, June 15th through the 17th, and in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. He'll also be in Chicago, Illinois for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 4th through the 6th, and in the New England area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, August 25th through the 27th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
Easy.
Thought about taking your parents to Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs? It's easier than you think. Log on to www.awmi.net for more details.